This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies, so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at Progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Support for the Memory Palace comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. And they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/memory. That's odoo.com/memory.
This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMeo. It's been generations now that people have been trying to sort out just what they'd heard. The question, one of the questions, has centered around the instrument itself. This one. Playing just for a bit there at the top of the A side of the Columbia 78 RPM release of A Mother's Last Word for Her Son from 1927. It's brief before the vocals kick in. Just let me loop it here and let it run. It's not a mandolin or a capoed banjo. Someone had the idea that it was the inside of a piano, but it doesn't really sound like that, and it's hard to picture how you could drag that thing around the back roads of the American South in the 1920s. In the 1960s, in Britain, a musicologist heard these sounds, heard the 18 songs written and performed by a man named Washington Phillips for the Columbia label in Dallas, Texas between 1927 and 1929. The instrument, listed only as a novelty accompaniment on the black label of the 78, was a dociola, said the British musicologist. A what? Said you, in your head just now, surely. For why would you have heard of an instrument made by the Toledo Symphony Company for only 4 years at the turn of the last century? A dociola looks kind of like a tiny grand piano, like something Schroeder from Peanuts would play Beethoven on. There's a keyboard in the front and a zithery thing sticking out the back. There are fewer than 50 known to exist today. And because it's such an odd, anomalous thing, it made some sense that it might make this odd, anomalous sound. But it turns out if you play one of those 50 or so dociolas, it doesn't really make that sound on that old record playing now in a digital loop for all eternity or until it hit the space bar. Now. And get ready to play you something else. Something that might make all this stuff about dociolas and musicologists seem pointless and academic and maybe make you annoyed in retrospect. But you had to listen to it when you could have been listening to this.
Leave it now, oh, leave it now. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you will trust him and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
There is a thing that happens when we listen to the past. To an old 78 like this one, or an Edison wax cylinder, or some field recording digitized on some museum website. There is this kind of conjuring of images or a palpable sense of place that you can't quite place, of lost lives revived and hanging in the air like dust in the light. I suppose it's why people go so quickly to the word haunting when talking about some voices. Some recordings. The word comes up all the time in the writing about Washington Phillips, in academic journals, in liner notes for releases by boutique record labels. And who could blame them? Because each needle dropped, each play button pressed or touched on a glass screen, invites a whole other world to flood into this one. Some parallel universe, some glimmering presence there in your living room, or caught in glimpses just off the roadside out the window of the bus.
Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
I won't presume to know what the music conjures for you. Over the years, the people who have heard these recordings and felt compelled to follow that sound into the world glimmering off the roadside and research and write about it tend to invoke screen porches and clapboard churches at the edge of the woods and dusty southern roads. There's a whole lot of dusty southern roads. The cult around these recordings started, as you might suspect, in the late 60s and early 70s. The music stumbled upon in antique shops and bought mail order from newsletters with distributions in the dozens and kept like a secret. Evoked a time that hadn't merely passed. It seemed to have been cut away by a world war and TV and moonshots and the civil rights movement and highways that paved over their beloved dusty roads. Now, the records were as old to listeners in 1972 as a Doobie Brothers song is to us today, but they seem like artifacts from a lost world, a place where the devil walked the earth to make deals at dusty intersections, where radios tapped into ghostly frequencies, where the hollers echoed with the moans of snake handlers, and when the people of the woods spoke in tongues. Old weird America, as the phrase goes, a time and a place just off the road, beyond the reach of history, where people went looking to find Washington Phillips. Here's what they found. Washington Phillips was African American. He was an itinerant preacher and songwriter, and his music was somehow heard by the song hunters, the people who came down to the South wandering dusty roads looking for some music they could sell, folks who found folks like Robert Johnson post-soul sale. So someone found Washington Phillips and brought him to a makeshift studio to record his songs of the gospel. He was about 35, and he sang them out with joy and conviction. And a few years later, he died in a mental hospital in Austin. And that was what they knew when they listened. That was the story. A humble man, touched by genius, or God, or madness, depending, who made these beautiful things, who suddenly appeared and sang like that, wrote songs like that, and then just disappeared, only to be found again by history at his death. And a place suggests that his joy and his conviction may have come from madness, or that his faith was so strong it shattered him, or that it disturbed someone enough to send him away. And that story changes the sound and what it summons, makes it seem of a piece with that glimmering world, lost and forgotten, and all of its sounds that you can't quite make out anymore over the traffic building up out on one of those paved over roads. But the story has changed in recent years. You can thank emails and online research and people compelled to go deeper into the woods, chasing after the life of Washington Phillips. And someone found a photograph. Phillips, stern and stocky, in a tie and a cardigan, holding two zithers in his arms, like stone tablets brought down from the mountain. Though some still insist he played a dociola, and still insist on hearing what they want to hear. Someone else found another photo, taken in about 1950, some 12 years after he was supposed to have died in an Austin sanitarium, in a fedora, a white button-down shirt, a wide tie tucked into his high-waisted pants, his jacket thrown over his arm. There's a mule and a cart behind him as they cool down in the shade of a tree. Someone tracked down relatives, people who knew him, remembered him fondly. We now know he dipped snuff. No one of his brothers died when he was young, drowned in a water tower. We know he was a preacher, but never had his own congregation. He'd sing at St. James Methodist Church in Teague, Texas, sometimes at St. Paul's. And every September 19th, he'd do his thing at the church picnic in Simsboro. Sometimes kids would come by his house. Sometimes he'd shoo them away. Sometimes he'd invite them to sit, and he'd play them some songs. We know he was married, that he sold cane syrup from that wagon pulled by that mule in the shade in the picture. We know he fell on the stairs of the welfare office in Teague in 1954 and hit his head and died, and that he's buried in an unmarked grave in the Cotton Gin Cemetery, 6 miles out of town. That is all we have of his life. That and 18 songs.
I wanna tell you the natural fact. Every man don't understand the Bible like, but that's all now. I tell you that's all. But you better have Jesus. I tell you that's all. Well, denominations has no right to fight. They ought to just treat each other right. And that's all. I tell you not to hold. But you better have Jesus. I'll tell you that's all. The primitive Baptists, they believe you can't get to heaven unless you wash your feet. But that's all now. I'll tell you that's all. But you better have Jesus. I'll tell you that's all.
The Memory Palace is produced by me, Nate DeMeo, with engineering assistance from Kathy Tu and research assistance from Andrea Milne. The show is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which receives support from the Knight Foundation, from MailChimp, which supports chaos, creativity, and teamwork, and by Adzer, which helps us out with ad-serving technology. And just a word here. I first heard Washington Phillips on a mixtape years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and then bought a CD that was put out by the Yazoo, that's Y-A-Z-O-O, record label. And I suggest you do the same. I mean, you can stream it all, sure, but buy it from them directly. If you want more Washington Phillips in your life, and why wouldn't you? And you will help them continue to do the Lord's work putting out this kind of music. I'll talk to you guys again.
Radiotopia.